This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've probably seen them on YouTube or TikTok, people whispering softly, tapping on objects, or brushing a microphone. And the comments are full of fans saying it helps them sleep, calms their anxiety, or even gives them tingles. It's known as ASMR. And while it's become an online phenomenon, scientists are still trying to work out what's really happening in the brain. Well, joining us is Associate Professor Daniel Shepherd from Auckland University of Technology, who's been digging into the psychology behind ASMR. Daniel, welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Now, for anyone who's never watched an ASMR video, how would you describe what it actually feels like for those who experience it?
Right. Well, I have to be honest that I am not a experiencer myself, but I can certainly pass on the experiences. So ASMR, or Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, was a term that was coined about 20 years ago where individuals have involuntary or reflexive responses to very specific sounds. And you just described a few there, which in turn induces these positive emotions of euphoria and calmness, and also this physical response. We get this tingling on the top of the scalp that slowly moves down the neck and back. And as you've sort of said there, these sort of practitioners of a sort of say, yes, this can actually help us with our anxiety and sleep.
What does the evidence say? Are there real measurable benefits?
Well, that's a good question in terms of measurement. Obviously, this is a very sort of personal and sort of experiential phenomena that requires self-report. So one way we can actually measure ASMR objectively, use brain images, or we can also take the ECG, heart rate and skin conductance, et cetera, et cetera. When we have a look at the evidence there, I'm afraid it's all a bit of a mess, all sorts of things tangled in there. One thing that sort of has come out is that we have this sort of notion here that it can actually decrease the heart rate, which is obviously associated with relaxation, but it also can increase sweating, which is actually linked to stress response. So the sort of so-called whisper community there, as they like to call themselves, the practitioners, sort of have now sort of named the phenomena arousing relaxation, which of course from a measurement and research point of view doesn't make a lot of sense.
Arousing relaxation. I've got to admit, I listened to a few videos prior to chatting with you today and someone was biting into a cucumber. I found it really annoying.
You don't like cucumber?
No, I don't mind the cucumber, but it was the sound of someone eating it that was just, I don't know how I could relax to it. Why is it, I suppose, that some people do feel a sense of relaxation and some people just have no response whatsoever and then others find things annoying?
Yeah, I mean, and there is a term for this, it's called misophonia. But in terms of the ASMR there does seem to be a particular demographic of individuals who are saying, yes, we are experiencing these sort of skin orgasms, if you like, or chills from being exposed to these sounds. And the research there is that they are typically younger people who are experiencing more negative emotions like anxiety and depression. And that they are generally more introverted and sort of critical, if you like, in terms of their personalities. And the general sort of argument going on in the literature is whether these individuals are just more susceptible or more naive to these sorts of phenomena due to the marketing and social media aspects, okay, or whether they really are, in fact, feeling, you know, these sorts of sensations.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Daniel Shepherd from Auckland University of Technology about whether ASMR, those whispery, tingly videos online, really helps with anxiety. Daniel, some of the most popular ASMR videos involve, I suppose, personal attention, someone pretending to brush your hair or whisper directly to you. What role does, I suppose, that sense of human connection play there?
Well, I think that's probably massive, and that is probably that that aspect of ASMR, which is probably eliciting these positive emotions. So with the personal attention sort of aspect there, it's almost like the camera is like the viewer. So even though you're passively watching, the camera is going around almost as if you were controlling it. Mm. And as you say there, the sort of practitioners, I'm not quite sure what you call ASM people. We sort of have two versions there. One is the ASM artists and the ASM eroticists. And there's sort of that two sort of channels there of those who see ASMR as a therapy, and those who sort of see it more in an erotic sense. So in terms of the personal attention there, some of these artists, if that's what you like to call them, will do things like brushing hair, applying makeup, and there's another issue there when you come back to measurement, is that now you're actually getting more visual than you actually are auditory or sound-wise.
Do you see any potential for ASMR to become part of therapy or mental health treatment, or is it still too early for that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the challenges is that, you know, you've got these different sounds, you know, whispers blowing on microphones, sort of idea of tapping fingernails and scratching, even turning pages on a book. But there is just so much variability across individuals. Most of us, when it comes to sort of negative sounds, have a very universal reaction for reasons of safety and viability. But when it comes to pleasant sounds, we find these are quite personal. Everyone has a different sort of idea. You know, someone might love Eurythmics, for example, and someone might not.
Mm.
So in terms of applying it at a level of therapy, it's going to be very, very difficult to ever get, I think, clinical guidelines, and a standardized set of stimuli.
Daniel, I've got a microphone in front of me now. I was very tempted to start tapping it or scratching, but I'm not going to because I don't know what it could be an experiment that goes horribly wrong. I suppose
you could induce a mild electric current across all your listeners.
For those curious to try it, what's the best way, I suppose, to find out if ASMR does work for them?
Right. Well, again, I'm going to sort of make that differentiation that seems to be existing there in the ASMR space at the moment. Is that there does seem to be an erotic channel there. And the Chinese government, for example, have actually banned a massive amount of ASMR content on the basis that it is vulgar and pornographic. And then you've got the other type, the ASM artist type. So if you want to approach ASMR in terms of some sort of help with anxiety, sleep, or to help you relax and be calm, then sort of search out the more sort of practice-based videos that focus more on the sound, okay, than the actual visual aspects. And see if it works for you.
Daniel, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm not going to touch the microphone.
All right.
Thank you, Associate Professor Daniel Shepherd from Auckland University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.